Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Senator Rick Scott joins the program for a big announcement. And also, we have Nick Searcy joining us about a new movie and book he has coming out. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. And get your tickets to the People's Convention at tpaction.com/peoples. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
A good man is running for Senate leader, hopefully Senate majority leader, and I support him 100%, and I am endorsing him for Senate majority leader. It is Senator Rick Scott from Florida. He is terrific. Senator, welcome to the program. Tell us about your announcement running for Senate leader.
Well, Charlie, first off, thank you for your support. Thank you for endorsement. I hope you're getting some sleep with your second child. It's a lot easier being a grandparent. So look, we got to have big change. Let's just look. We've got to fix our upper for our country right now. We've got almost $35 trillion of debt. We've got an open border. We've got a horrible foreign policy. We've got a federal government that's completely out of control. We need to have a sea change. I'm a turnaround guy. That's what I did in business. I bought failing businesses. I fixed them up. I became governor back in January 2011 in Florida. Florida was in financial distress at the time. I turned the state around with a lot of other help, not just me, but we did it together. We need to do the same thing at the federal level. President Trump's going to win. He needs a partner in the Senate that says we need a sea change. We need to have conservative policies that are actually going to get implemented rather than been blocked by people that don't want to do it.
Yeah, and this sort of business as usual is destroying the country. And so what in particular will you do as Senate leader, not necessarily from a policy perspective, because your ideas are terrific, but from a business standpoint, will you do these omnibus things if you are Senate majority leader? How will you change the actual business of the Senate?
Well, Charlie, I was very specific in the letter I sent to all my colleagues, and you can get it online. So here's one. First off, I think we've got to have term limits for the leader. So nobody should have power that long. That's number one. Number two is we've got to make sure that we don't have a continuing resolutions or omnibuses. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if we actually have an appropriations process and we force to go through that. We've got to do that, because what happens right now is the McConnell Schumer guys, they just, what they do is they, oh, we worked really hard. Oh, we couldn't get it done. So let's do a continuing resolution. Then we'll do this omnibus right before Christmas, when you don't want to shut down government right before Christmas, right? So that's going to stop. We're going to have a real appropriations process, go through the budget. We can balance this budget. Now, we got to get people back to work to do it, but we can do it. Number three is, I want bills not to be decided by Schumer and McConnell, but be decided by committees and with a robust amendment. Because what Schumer and McConnell have been doing up here is they'll decide the bill and then they'll put it on the Senate floor and we don't give them amendment vote. So all you get to do is a yes or no. Well, then why am I here? I get no vote. And as you know, it takes 60 votes up here. What's been happening is all the Democrats vote together and then 9 to the 15 Republicans vote with them. So all of Biden's bad policies are getting implemented. That's got to stop.
Yes, it has to stop. Absolutely. Can you talk about how you would run the Senate from a committee chair process, not one that is rooted in revenge, but one that is anchored in expertise? You have an amazing story about this, how you lost some committee positions because you dared to challenge McConnell.
Now, Charlie, put this in perspective. I don't think anybody has ever been a U.S. senator that ran as big a company as I ran. I ran a company with 285,000 employees. I think I was the 7th U.S. employer at the time. And so I ran against McConnell at the end of the 22 cycle. Unfortunately, we didn't win. Right. So Mike Lee, who is the one that sponsored me and, you know, nominated me, he and I got kicked off Commerce, even though we had done probably 80% of the amendment votes on the Republican side for the prior 4 years. So what we ought to be doing on committees is saying, okay, so if you're going to be, if whatever the committee, do what, one, what's your expertise and what's your interest? Now, even though that's what we ought to do on the committee, but even after that, you need to have a robust amendment process. So every U.S. senator has the opportunity to say, you know what, I disagree with that for my state. Now, I'm going to have to talk a majority of you into my way of thinking, but give me a shot at that. So, now, I think what we got to do is we got a lot of talented people in up here. Let's use their talent to get the best policy. But let's remember, we have a fixer-upper. We've got to start paying down our debt. We've got to balance our budget. We've got, our military is not hitting recruiting numbers, and it's not hitting readiness numbers. That is scary for all of us. We got the DOJ, we got FBI, we got IRS that have been weaponized. That has got to change. We're supposed to be the oversight of the executive branch. We need to be the oversight of the executive branch.
That's exactly right. And under the current regime, Senator McConnell seems to allocate money more towards races where he thinks he can get votes rather than majorities. If you were to become Senate Majority Leader, with that comes the control or the passive control of a super PAC and the ability to raise a ton of money, which you're doing. How would you engage in these sort of races? Because it seems that McConnell is more interested in protecting his allies and friends than actually building a sustainable Senate majority.
Well, you know, if you're the Republican leader or Democrat leader, you're able to raise more money. So that gives you the opportunity because of those titles that you can raise money to help make sure Republicans win. What I personally believe is we ought to let Republican primaries happen. So Washington, D.C. is not picking our candidates, because historically what they've wanted the candidates that will just go along with leadership. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And then as the money we raise, we should be helping all Republicans win. So we shouldn't say, oh, well, this one is going to vote for me, and this one's going to be easier to work with. No, we should say, we want to win the maximum number of Republican votes so we can control the destiny of this country. In the case of what's going to happen over the next few years, Donald Trump is going to be the president. He's going to need a partner as leader in the Senate to say his policies are going to get implemented.
That's right. Let's talk about that in closing here, Senator. What policies in particular would you lead? And I know you have a platform and a plan that you've put together, which is really great. what policies should the Senate now start to own and bring to the American people? Because we have races we can win in Arizona. Carrie Lake can win in Arizona. We can win in Nevada. Hopefully we flip Montana. Hopefully we flip Ohio with Bernie Moreno. We're going to flip West Virginia. We might even be able to flip Maryland. What agenda items do you think candidates need to bring to the American people to show the argument to make the Senate go red?
So number one, we've got to start fighting for something, right? So what do people want right now? They want a secure border, all right? Because they don't want another 76,000 people dying of fentanyl next year. They don't want more criminals and they don't want more terrorists. So number one is secure the border. Number two is they know we have to balance the budget so we can get inflation under control, because it's devastating families with the grocery prices up and car prices and home prices. Everything is growing. Number three, we've got to do everything we can to make sure the world is safe and our freedoms are protected. That means we have to have a military that everybody is scared to death of. That doesn't mean you have to spend a fortune. What that means, you have to have the strongest military you can, the most lethal, and put yourself in a position where no one wants to question our authority.
Senator, we are behind you 100%. Also, check out rickscott.com. You're currently in cycle in Florida. I think you're going to be all right, but help out Senator Scott. That's rickscott.com. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for your support. Take care. Congratulations on your new one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look, for over 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. The only. When I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Patriot Mobile is a proud supporter of the show, and I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching quite easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. They have all three major networks. Check it out right now, patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Yesterday, Rishi Sunak, who is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, had an announcement. Play cut 125.
Now is the moment for Britain to choose its future, to decide whether we want to build on the progress we have made or risk going back to square one with no plan and no certainty. Earlier today, I spoke with His Majesty the King to request the dissolution of Parliament. The King has granted this request, and we will have a general election on the 4th of July.
Now, the 4th of July, that's quite an interesting date. They don't honor the 4th of July in the United Kingdom, obviously. So he's allegedly the conservative leader. Now, the conservatives in the UK are not actually conservatives. They're more like Hillary Clinton Democrats. Labour, which are actually more like Bernie Sanders socialists, Jeremy Corbyn types, they are poised to have a major victory. And this is basically Rishi saying, I'm done, crying uncle. What is the lesson here? The lesson is that if you do not stand and fight for conservative values, that your vote, when your voters give you political power, you're going to be displaced from power. There are huge parts of London that resemble a foreign country. The city council member from Leeds chanting Allahu Akbar. Play cut 68.
We will raise the voice of Gaza.
Yeah, when I think of someone from Britain, I think of a guy screaming in the sky saying Allahu Akbar. Boris Johnson was one of the worst COVID leaders. Huge lockdowns, but even he himself did not obey them. The worst combination of tyranny and hypocrisy. Let this be a warning to the American Republican Party. If we do not stand and fight, if we do not fulfill the mandate of our voters, we can be displaced from power. If we don't fight on the issues that might be somewhat controversial, If we govern as Democrat light, then voters will have no reason to vote for us and will instead give political power back to Democrats, or in this case, in Labour. What have conservatives actually conserved in the United Kingdom? British conservatives didn't defend free speech. They didn't defend English identity and English liberties. They didn't slow down immigration and didn't even bring prosperity. And sadly, they did not even fulfill the gift given to them by Nigel Farage, which was Brexit. In 2019, they turned their back on Brexit. They slowed it down. They did everything they could to eliminate it. And now UK conservatives are going to pay a very heavy price. What does that mean for our conservative movement and our Republican Party? It's a warning sign. Our Republican Party is growing. Winning elections is not the hardest part. Governing can be even harder than winning elections. We control a lot in this country. We control a lot of governor's mansions, a lot of AG's offices. We control a lot of state legislatures. But if you do not use the political power that your voters give you, then you will be displaced and you'll get something hyper radical in its place. This is why Rick Scott running for Senate Majority Leader is so critical and so important. Not just governing as Democrat light, but putting forward a different agenda, saying that we want people to own homes, have children, get married. In the United Kingdom, they've had mass migration. They don't even try to count them, and they certainly do not try to deport them. A new economic study in the United Kingdom found that migrants aren't growing the British economy. They're just driving up housing prices. This is one of the reasons why Mike Johnson has been such a disappointment. Mike Johnson, as Speaker of the House, has been much closer to a UK conservative like Rishi Sunak than an actual conservative for our country. It is hard to be a conservative, because you are up against relentless parasites that want to take over the body politic and consume the government. It is difficult to be the guy that says, no, no, we are going to cut spending. It's easy to be a progressive. You come up with a wacky idea that you can't pay for, steal from your children, finance it, and call that progress. That's easy. It takes courage, a backbone, a spine, fortitude. It takes a resolute spirit to be a conservative. And the UK conservatives have governed for 14 years, and now they're going to give the power back to Labour. And if you think that Britain is a hellhole now and is descending, wait till Labour takes over. But honestly, the conservatives did it to themselves, because they were not conservative at all. They were just Labour light.
Debt, it keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest rate credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. With Pivotal Debt Solutions, you can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop these threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line is, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first to talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That is zapmydebt.com, zapmydebt.com.
Joining us now is Nick Searcy, who is a legend in Hollywood. Nick, welcome to the program. Tell us about your book that is coming out. I also want to talk about the movie as well. So tell us all about it.
Thanks, Charlie. It's nice to see you again. Yeah, the book is called Justify This. It's not as political as some of my movies, of some of my documentaries, but it's more or less a movie about my career and how I got started, how I became an actor. Little boy in North Carolina, didn't know anybody who had ever been an actor. And it's sort of about that. And there's a lot of things along the way. And there's a story of our adopting our son out of foster care, which is a very interesting part of the book. And it's more or less a book about my life. So,
well, that's terrific. And so tell us about your life. I mean, you've lived a full life and you've played some amazing characters throughout the years, and you're very much in Hollywood. Tell us all about it.
Well, the joke I always tell is that, you know, I started out, my big break was Fried Green Tomatoes, where I played like the wife beating husband and Klansman. I was the guy that got cooked and eaten. So that kind of got my career started. But, you know, after that, there was an awful lot of wife beaters and Klansmen. And so I've played a lot of serial killers and Klansmen and wife beaters and sexual harassers and rapists. I mean, let's face it, I've played a lot of Democrats. So that's how I've made my living. But I've also been able to, you know, have some fun along the way, play some good guys here and there. And I've been very fortunate, Charlie. That's really what I hope I convey that in the book. I have really lived a very blessed life. And God has led me to do some things that I didn't know I was going to do. And I feel very fortunate.
The book is Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. I also want to talk about the movie that is coming out here, The War on Truth. Let's play cut 126.
Antifa!
Let me through, I got a knife.
We have not to date seen any evidence of anarchist violent extremists or people subscribing to Antifa.
This guy is not just undercover, okay? He is committing violence.
Everybody that was on the ground on J6, police officers and demonstrators alike, were all set up.
They have this mystery story that we're some kind of domestic terrorist group.
Why are you going to prison for 8 months?
For my documentation of January 6th.
They're being punished as criminals.
When the United States government comes at you with everything they have, it can be very intimidating.
They're trying to instill fear.
This is intimidation, just like the Gestapo.
This was not a no-knock warrant. I could have killed somebody because they didn't identify themselves.
On May 17th, the truth fights back.
So Nick, tell us all about this film.
Well, this film is continues the story of the lies about January 6th. I made a film in 2021 called Capital Punishment, and this film continues that story. And the most striking thing about this film, and the thing that I'm proudest of, is that we show you who these people are, who these people actually are, that Joe Biden and the media and the Democrat complex has been vilifying and demonizing for the past 3 years. Calling them white supremacists and domestic terrorists. These are the most decent people you can find in your neighborhood. The people they are going after are people who believe in the Constitution, people who believe in God, people with whom you would trust your pets or your children if you were out of town. And they are trying to destroy these people simply because they protested the election and they don't believe that Joe Biden is a legitimate president. So I think it's a movie that everyone should see, no matter what side of the issue you're on, no matter how you feel about Donald Trump. I don't think anybody can look at this movie fairly and think that these people, what's happening to these people is justice. It's a political persecution.
So let me ask you, there's been some debate, and we had a former FBI agent on our program yesterday, and he says that the FBI is full of mostly good people in that trailer. He says they're comparing them to the Gestapo. Can you help make that argument in that case? I agree with that. What evidence can you support through this film that shows that the FBI is operating close to Stalin's private guard?
Well, we have interviews in the film with Steve Friend and Kyle Serafin, both of whom former FBI agents. Steve Friend was taken off his job on a task force investigating child trafficking and moved to investigating grandmothers who stuck their heads in the Capitol building on January 6th. And what's happening to the FBI is that they are being incentivized to go after these people on January 6th. The funding is increased. They have it's almost like a domestic terrorism quota. And if they fill that quota, then you're going to get more funding for your office. So they are actually going out and trying to find these people, just like Stalin's KGB was like given a, you know, go out and find a certain number of dissidents and punish them. And that's what's going on in this country, too. The FBI may be filled with some good people, but a lot of them are just obeying orders. because they're being told what to do. They're being told there's the enemy, that grandmother there who walked into the Capitol on January 6th, you need to treat her like a terrorist. And that's what they're doing.
So, yeah, I want to dive into that. I'm so glad you said that. Just obeying orders. From doing this film and your research, do you think that's an okay excuse? Is that an acceptable excuse from someone who swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution where they say, I'm just obeying orders. I want to make sure I keep my pension and my salary. Do you believe that we should accept that as an excuse?
Absolutely not. And Garrett O'Boyle, another FBI agent in our film, he's paid a price for standing up for what he believes. Steve Friend has paid a price. Cal Serafin has paid a price. That's not an excuse. That's it's the same thing that I encounter in Hollywood when I, you know, a lot of actor friends of mine, people that you would know by face, if not by name, they come up to me and say, you know, I agree with a lot of what you're doing, but I would never say that out loud because I know it would hurt my career. I go, well, what good is it to save your career if you lose your country? I mean, you know, you got to stand up at some point. You're going to have to stand up sooner or later. You might as well do it now.
No, I completely agree with that. And I guess pensions matter more than your country, I suppose. Because I mean, when you are told, can you just kind of go through some of the more egregious examples? I mean, the FBI comes in full force with SWAT teams for nonviolent offenders that said a prayer in the Capitol. Is that right?
Right. One of the most egregious examples in our movie is Chris and Annette Keene. Chris Keene was the guy who gave the orders at Reagan's funeral, at Ronald Reagan's funeral, the 21-gun salute. He was the one that gave the fire order. He's an American hero. He was there on January 6th. They break down his door at 6 a.m., freezing cold, Kansas City. And the terror of that day caused his wife to have a miscarriage. They had, you know, the red dots of the rifles that they were on their little boy. I mean, this is terrorization. This is not necessary. Chris is the kind of person that if you really had some problem with him or something that he had done wrong on that day, some trespassing charge is what he was charged with, you would call him on the phone and say, we'd like to talk to you. But instead, they send these terrorizing raids into their neighborhood, make them a pariah in the neighborhood. Everybody, all their neighbors think those must be horrible people. Look at how the police are treating them. This is all done deliberately. It's all done to scare and intimidate and to send a message to everyone else, not just the people that they're persecuting, but send a message to everyone else. This is what will happen to you if you resist us.
So what are you hearing is coming next? Are they still coming after more January 6ers?
Absolutely. Matthew Graves, the DOA, the district attorney in the District of Columbia, he says, we're going to arrest 1,000 more people this year. He says in our movie, we have footage of it. We're going to start going after people who never went in the building, because even just standing around the Capitol building, they were in a restricted area. As you'll see in our movie, all the signs that said it was a restricted area were taken down by operatives before the crowd moved from Trump's speech to the Capitol building. So no one knew they were in a restricted area. This is all entrapment. It's all a setup. And they are not stopping. They are doubling down on the lies, and they are going to arrest more people. They've arrested more people already this year for January 6th than they arrested last year.
And meanwhile, our border is completely wide open and our law enforcement is being inverted against the citizenry. But I'm told they're all great people.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, their premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
in your movie, which is very important, The War on Truth, spending time amongst these January 6th defendants and their families, do you feel their resolve weakening, or do you feel as if they're more committed to fight for truth? What is your takeaway?
The thing that I took away from this was that meeting these people were some of the strongest people I've ever met, some of the most faithful people, people who live their faith. And in many cases, I mean, J.D. Rivera is a man who's profiled in this movie. He was sent to prison for 8 months for trespassing. He filmed every move that he made inside the Capitol, never touched anything. All he did was film. He was acting as a journalist that day. Went to prison for 8 months, had to say goodbye to his family. And when I talked to him about going to prison, he said, I'm not looking at this as punishment. I'm looking at this as a mission trip. I'm going there because God wants me to be there to spread the message to whoever needs to hear it. And when he says goodbye to his little girl and asks her, why am I going to prison? She looks at him and says, you're going to prison to tell people about God. And that broke my heart, and I think it'll break the hearts of everybody who sees this movie.
You were at January 6th. Did you see violence? What did you see when you were there?
I saw people praying. I saw people singing hymns. I saw people saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And mostly what I saw was happy people. I was on the side of the Capitol building between the Capitol and the Supreme Court. I wasn't on the side where the Capitol police were firing munitions into the middle of the crowd. So I didn't see any of the violence. And that's pretty much why I made these movies. I got home that night from January 6th, and what I saw on television matched nothing of what I saw with my own eyes. And so that's when I began to get curious, especially when I saw how the people were being treated and the lies that were being told about these people, FBI breaking these people's doors down. That's when I just said, okay, they are lying about January 6th. Let's find out what the truth is, number one, and number two, why they are lying. And that's how these movies came about.
Your book is Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. What is your advice for not compromising your career for our audience that at times they feel they have to compromise to pay bills, to pay the mortgage? Our audience is filled of silent patriots that I wish were silent no longer, because they're afraid of the backlash or the condemnation. What advice can you share with the audience?
Well, I certainly sympathize with people who don't want to reveal their political leanings because of the price they might pay. I think in my case, by the time I figured out that I needed to hide my political beliefs, it was too late and everybody already knew. So I just kept going. But I hope that as an example, I have been able to continue to work. I have a Netflix series coming out this year that I did with Nicole Kidman, shot it all last year. I have continued to be employed in Hollywood, and I think that the fear of backlash is something that we have to stand up for. We have to stand up to that, because if you let the bullies silence you, they win. I mean, they accomplish their goal one of two ways. Either they run you out of the business so you can't say anything, or they just make you afraid to say anything. So I say to people, you know, I have a lot of friends who are actors say to me all the time, I agree with you, but I'm not sure I can take the stands you take because I would pay a price for it. And I go, yeah, you might pay a price in the short term, but in the end, if you lose your country and save your career, what have you saved? You're not going to have a career anyway, because you're not going to have a country to practice it in. So I encourage everybody, don't let the bully silence you. Stop being afraid of them. Make them deal with you on your terms.
Well said. Nick, seriously, thank you so much. The book is Justify This. And boy, if you can keep on moving forward with what you believe and not be canceled, and have a Netflix series, that's a big deal and an example to us all. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.